This morning we want to think on the subject from the book of Colossians, the glorious gospel. And our main verses are Colossians 1, verses 5 through 7. I'd like to read those verses. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. The good news of the gospel was not native to Colossae. It had been brought to them before, and in their case, Epaphras was the one that brought the message to them of the gospel. Epaphras had come in contact with the Apostle Paul and had been converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this probably happened during Paul's great three-year ministry in Ephesus. Once Epaphras had been saved, he shared this thrilling news with his relatives and friends back home. When you read Acts chapter 19 and see the many wonderful things that took place in Ephesus, it would have been exciting for Epaphras to stay with the Apostle Paul in Ephesus. But his first responsibility was to take the gospel to his own home city. I'd like to read Mark chapter 5. Verses 18 and 19. And here we read, "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for you and hath had compassion on you." Now this was the maniac of Gadara, and he wanted to continue with Jesus, but Jesus said, "Go back home and tell them what I have done for you." And that's what Epaphras did after he had been saved. He went back home to Colossae. The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ has solved the sin problem through his death, burial, and resurrection. The word gospel itself means good news. Paul reviewed the characteristics of this exciting gospel message here in the book of Colossians. Notice again, the gospel message centers in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice again verses 4 and 5. "Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." You see, faith in Christ. The theme of this epistle is the preeminence of Jesus Christ, and he is certainly preeminent in the message of the gospel. The false teachers who had invaded the fellowship in Colossae were trying to remove Jesus Christ from his place of preeminence. But to do this was to destroy the gospel. It is Christ who died for us and rose again. The gospel message does not center in a philosophy or a doctrine or a religious system. It centers in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And not only does the gospel tell us about Jesus Christ and what he did, notice it is also the word of truth. Notice the last part of verse 5, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. This means that it came from God. It's a word of truth because it came from God and can be trusted. In John 17, verse 17, it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. There are many messages and ideas that can be called true, but only God's word can be called truth. Satan is a liar. To believe his lies is to be led astray into death. In John 8, 44, we read, John 8, verse 44, we read, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And then you remember in John chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Jesus is the truth, and when we trust him, we experience eternal life. Men have tried to destroy God's truth, but have always failed. The word of truth still stands. We have it today. Everybody has faith in something, but faith is only as good as the object in which a person puts his trust. The jungle pagan worships a god of stone. The educated city pagan worships money or possessions or status, but in both cases, they have placed their faith in something, but their faith is empty. The true Christian believer has faith in Jesus Christ, and that faith is based on the word of truth. Any other kind of faith is but superstition. It cannot save us. The gospel is also the message of God's grace. Notice in Colossians 1, verse 6, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. Two words in the Christian vocabulary are often confused. And those two words are grace and mercy. God in his grace gives me what I do not deserve, yet God in his mercy does not give me what I do deserve. You see, grace is God's favor shown to undeserving sinners. The reason the gospel is good news is because of grace. God is willing and able to save all who will personally place their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. John Selden, who lived from 1584 to 1654, was a leading historian and legal authority in England. He had a library of 8,000 volumes and was recognized for his learning ability. When he was dying, he said to Archbishop Usher, "I have surveyed most of the learning that is among the sons of men, and my study is filled with books and manuscripts on various subjects, but at present I cannot recollect any passage out of all of my books and papers whereon I can rest my soul, save this statement from the sacred scriptures found in Titus 2, chapter 11, which tells us, Titus 2:11 tells us, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." You see, that's what he was resting his soul in, the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Now, the gospel is also for the whole world. Again, notice verse 6, "which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth." Dr. Walter Wilson had a unique way of making old truths seem new and exciting. He once quoted John 3:16 and asked, "If you were to give a gift that would be suitable for the whole world, for every person, what would you give?" And then he listed several possibilities and showed how those gifts could not suit everybody. He mentioned books. If you gave somebody, if wanted to give everybody a book, remember, many people cannot read. Or if you wanted to give them a certain kind of food, remember that people eat different things in different parts of the world. Or if you wanted to give them clothing, remember also that climates are different. What's suitable for one climate would not be suitable for another climate. And if you wanted to give them money, not every culture makes use of money. He came up to the logical conclusion that only the gospel with its gift of eternal life is suitable for the whole world. And that is certainly right. Paul said that the gospel was bearing fruit in all the world. The word of God is the only seed that can be planted anywhere in the world and bring forth fruit. The gospel can be preached to every creature which is under heaven. Notice in Colossians 1, verse 28, "whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." Or in other words, that we may present every man a child of God and mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's emphasis was upon every man. False teachers do not take their message to all the world. They go to where the gospel has already gone and try to lead believers astray. They have no good news for lost sinners. If people are to be saved, they must hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if they are to hear, we who are saved must carry the message or send the message to them. And of course, the question is, are we doing our part? Are we doing what we're able to do to take that message to lost sinners? Now, notice also that they believed in Jesus Christ. We see that again in verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. It is possible to hear and not believe even though the Word of God has the power to generate faith in those who hear, millions of people around the world have heard the good news of salvation and yet have not believed. But those who do believe, who place their personal faith in Jesus Christ, receive from God the gift of eternal life. We are not saved by faith in faith. The modern attitude is, if you believe you are saved, safe, but the modern attitude is, if you believe, you are safe. But the obvious question is, believe in what? The answer that they might give is, well, just believe, if you believe. We are not saved by faith in a set of doctrines. George Whitefield was witnessing to a man and asked, what do you believe? And the man said, I believe what my church believes. And George Whitefield asked, and what does your church believe? And the man answered, what I believe. Again, George Whitefield asked, and what do you both believe? And the man said, why, we both believe the same thing. He was just being evasive. Saving faith involves the mind, the emotions, and the will. With the mind, we understand the truth of the gospel. And with the heart, we feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that we need in order to be saved. But it is only when we exercise the will and commit ourselves to Christ and receive Him as our Savior that the process is complete. Faith is not mental assent to a body of doctrines, no matter how true those doctrines may be. Faith is not emotional concern. Faith is placing one's trust totally in Jesus Christ. When missionary John Patton was translating the Bible in the Outer Hebrides, he searched for the exact word to translate believe. Finally, he discovered that the word meant lean your whole weight upon. And that is what saving faith is, leaning our whole weight or being upon Jesus Christ. The false teachers who had come to Colossae tried to undermine their faith in Christ and His Word. And this same kind of undermining goes on today. Any religious teaching that dethrones the Lord Jesus Christ or that makes salvation other than an experience of God's grace through faith in Christ is either confused or anti-Christian, and it is born of Satan. In conclusion, the experience of the believers in Colossae was so wonderful that people talked about it. Paul heard about it. The false teachers heard about it. You see, you cannot keep silent once you have experienced salvation in Jesus Christ. Once we have had our sin forgiven and have eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, then we cannot keep silent. We want others to know. Is our Christian life the kind that others know about, that it encourages others? It needs to be. If we're truly saved and have received Jesus Christ as our Savior, then we cannot keep it silent. We are going to live the Christian life. and we're going to be willing to talk about it when others want to know about what we have and what makes our life different. And we need to be so excited about it that even the unsaved take notice. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you that Jesus Christ willingly left heaven's glory and came to earth, and that he willingly grew up and went to the cross and died for our sin and in our place. And Lord, I thank you that when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, ask forgiveness of our sin and ask him to be our Savior, I thank you that our sin is forgiven, we have eternal life, and we know that when we leave this life, we are going home to heaven to be with you for all eternity. Thank you for that. And Father, I pray that we will be anxious to share that good news with others, that they also might have that hope. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.